Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Harris Cherokee Resort. Find us online at caesars.com/harris-cherokee.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So in a lot of ways, what I do here as the host of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort, is not like a regular job, right? I'm sitting in the studio, I'm talking to you, there's a lot of lights, a lot of cameras, and a lot of recording equipment and things like that. However, there are some moments when this job becomes a job like any other. Yesterday was a little bit of an example of that. We had like a business meeting, like a regular old business meeting in a conference room type of thing. It was kind of an all-day deal. And we're in there talking about business, the same way that you talk about business, whatever your business happens to be in. We were talking about some business stuff yesterday. And in the midst of that day, gathered around a table together, the whole Dog Nation team and some of our Dog Nation World Headquarters folks, we're all kind of in there together. And then like the little ding started happening on phones and those little alerts start going off. And suddenly you realize, ooh, it looks like Georgia's about to add a big time non-conference opponent. And sure enough, Georgia does schedule Clemson for the 2021 season. And my learning about this, because I was in kind of a business meeting, I was in like a work environment, just like many of you are. My experience on this is really no different than anyone else's kind of finding out about this news. And the reason why I tell you this story off the top of the show is because I think this perfectly capsulizes what it's like to be a Georgia fan here in this era, the 2020 season about to begin, 2021 on the horizon. I would argue, and I think I have something to back myself up on this, it's never been more fun to be a Georgia fan than it is right now. And yes, I know Georgia needs to win a national championship. And goodness knows we complain about little things about offensive play calling or, you know, tendencies, whatever else. We probably do that as much as anybody does. I get all of that. But it's also appropriate, I think, from time to time for us to sort of step back, look back and realize we are constantly, I mean, we as fans, we are constantly given these sort of like fun moments, reminders of how entertaining this is. And ultimately, the goal of college football is to be an entertainment form, right? I mean, I know that we talk about winning a national championship and the pursuit of the championship, but it's really the day-to-day entertainment that the sport's supposed to be able to provide you. In Georgia football, whether it be, you know, kind of covering it like I do or experiencing it the way we all do, it's never been more fun. It's never been more entertaining than it is right now. And Kirby Smart's ultra aggressive scheduling philosophy, I think, is one of the big parts of that. I mean, as it stood, that 2021 year was kind of looking like, you know, there's no Notre Dame there. There's no, you know, Chick-fil-A kickoff classic. There's no big home and home. You got to wait a few years to kind of get to some of those. You know, a lot of that's still off in the horizon. That 2021 season kind of seemed like the lull in between all of that. And then lo and behold, Georgia goes out and does what it does, add a big boy like Clemson to start the year. The other thing that I kind of appreciate about this is that it kind of shows the two-pronged schedule approach, I think, that Kirby Smart's taking. You know, we've talked about the Notre Dame series that Georgia just finished up. You got Oklahoma and Texas and teams like that upcoming, UCLA, I guess, as well. You've got these like national outside your region teams and those kinds of like, they almost become like tourist attractions, like the way that South Bend was in 2017. I think those are really fun for a fan base. But I think that concurrent to that, there also ought to be room for your regional rivals. You know, I grew up in the 80s, back in a time when Georgia-Clemson was a real living, breathing rivalry. My memory of it was of the teams that came into Athens. Obviously, Georgia-Florida was playing Jacksonville. But of the teams that came into Athens back then, Georgia fans hated Clemson more than they hated anybody. That's my memory of that. Many of you kind of lived through that. You'd probably say very much the same thing. So the fact that in future years, Georgia and Clemson are going to be playing what I think it's officially scheduled six times, not counting whatever college football playoff stuff might happen, but six times in the years to come, for me, that's not too much. And I'll say the same thing about the upcoming games against Florida State. That's another regional rival that you are going to be competing with and recruiting a bit. We saw some of that towards the end of the 2020 cycle. You might as well play these teams on the field. Those are the, you know, the kinds of teams that you ought to be playing. Ultimately, I think that Kirby Smart in the past has said some really interesting things about some of this kind of stuff, including this short clip here that I think probably sums up as well as anything could about what the overall philosophy is like, about why you want to be playing in games like this, what it does for the brand of Georgia football. Here's what Kirby Smart said about that.
We've said, you know what, let's go out and play them. I mean, it helps recruiting, helps national stage. You want to be in the game at 8 o'clock on Saturday night, you know, playing right. Notre Dame. That's what you want.
I think the national stage is a real thing. I think that it's the kind of thing that is as much of a prize as the championship itself. And I will say for Clemson, who has won national championships, who's been a fixture in the college football playoff, ask yourself this. How frequently have they really been on the national stage during the season? When you're playing Wake Forest, that's just not going to happen. When you're playing UNC, that's just not going to happen. You know, you got to be playing a Notre Dame. You got to be playing, in their case, a Texas A&M, which they did a couple times. Those are the only types of games you're going to get a team like Clemson on the national stage. Even though they're an elite team and a national championship level team, when you are playing games as a 30-point favorite, you are not on the national stage. You may be playing at 8 o'clock, but it's a regional broadcast with most of the country watching a different game. Whereas for Georgia, playing in games like this is the kind of thing they just become more used to. You want those big TV ratings because I think you can draw a little bit of a line between that and recruiting. For a little more on Smart's thoughts on these kinds of things in the past, let me give you a longer clip. Now, this one's a bit longer than what we normally play here in our program, but I think it's an important reminder of what Smart has said in the past about why these kind of games matter. Let you hear Kirby again.
I'm thinking that to get in the playoffs, as the future goes, I don't know whether they'll ever expand it. That's not for me to even kind of divulge on. But I do think that you're going to need a quality of schedule to do that. I think that there's going to be two lost teams in the future. If they've got a really tough schedule, that'll be able to make that. I also think at the University of Georgia, you should be able to recruit the finest, best players in the country out of your own state and across the country because our academic institution is so highly thought of. So I want to have the best players. I want to play the best teams. Kids come to college to play big games. They don't come to play, I would never name anybody, but they don't come to play anybody, the Sisters of the Poor. They want to play the best teams. So we want to go schedule the best teams. Unfortunately, you can't schedule these games but 7 to 10 years out. And that's so frustrating to me because I can't think about 7 to 10 years out. I'm trying to think about tomorrow and this year, and you're having to schedule way in advance. But we thought three Power Five opponents, non-conference, would be not groundbreaking, but we thought it would be a new thing, and we're not afraid of that. I'm not afraid to go out and play. I mean, you look at the NFL teams, and I know those are you know different players, but they play 16 teams in a season that are all good. There's no cupcake in the NFL. They play back-to-back-to-back quality opponents, and we want our fan base to get that. We also want our fan base to get potentially what might be 7 consecutive home games non-conference Power 5 opponent, and we're trying to get that lined up for them and play some good rivalries. I think it's going to help us in recruiting. I always do, and I like playing in Atlanta as well.
So a lot to unpack there from Kirby Smart. I think he's right about almost all of that. I do think it helps you in recruiting to play games like this. I also think that when you look at the NFL model, it's not too much to ask you to play big-time non-conference games in addition to the rigorous SEC schedule. And there's no doubt that after these two teams play in 2021 to open the season, Georgia and Clemson, the row for Georgia to hoe after that's going to be a lot tougher than it will be for Clemson. But that's, listen, you're not going to cry about that. You're just going to do what you have to do. And it's not too much to ask for from Georgia. Now, as far as the debate about, you know, does it make you more likely to make the playoff? We can certainly get into that over the course of the show, and we probably will. However, the other thing that's kind of interesting is, you know, when we first started hearing about these kinds of games, including some of the ones against teams like Clemson, they were like 7 to 10 years out, right? And you're like, well, I even be, you know, what will my life even look like in 2031 or whenever some of these games are going to be played? But you blink your eye and suddenly all of a sudden it kind of feels like, hey, it's those games are actually kind of here. You know, 2021 was that sort of like that gap year in between the games that Georgia did have scheduled and some of the other games upcoming. And all of a sudden now you've slotted Clemson in there. And, you know, pretty much for now moving forward, you can expect to see Georgia playing a big-time non-conference game in almost every single one of these years. It's just a really fun thing to think about. And then you start getting into, like, multiples in some of those years. And the good news is when Georgia first started doing this, kind of following up with Clemson for the 2021 season, Georgia's actually starting to get noticed for this a bit. It's actually starting to become a bit about Georgia's brand. You remember back in the 80s, for those of you who are old enough to remember that, back when Bobby Bowden was building up Florida State and they were the kind of, we'll play you any place, anywhere, anytime type of team, and that was kind of something that Florida State was known for. I think that Georgia's kind of getting noticed and known for that too, because if you go back to last year when Georgia started scheduling some of these games, it got started being talked about on some of like the ESPN national shows that typically don't talk about college football all that much, especially during, you know, maybe kind of the offseason part of the year, but they were giving credit to Kirby Smart and Georgia for the aggressive scheduling, and if that was true then, I think it's even more true now. Let me let you hear Michael Wilbon as an example of that.
The key here is you can sustain two losses, and there will regularly be, particularly from the SEC. Because let's face it, their conference schedule is so difficult.
Yeah.
They always get the benefit of the doubt with whoever's in that room. And so now you say, okay, they got two losses, so what? They played Oklahoma. They played
Texas.
You know, UCLA.
Notre
they
Dame.
Played Texas.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And home and home, not neutrals. Not we play at the Mercedes-Benz Atlanta Stadium.
No.
You play on campus.
Yeah.
You play in Austin.
I agree.
You play in Norman.
There's another part to this, Mike.
It should work.
So I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one that spends all day screaming into a microphone. You hear Michael Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser on that, kind of screaming and shouting about all this kind of stuff. I'm glad to know I'm not the only loud blowhard that does this kind of thing for a living, I guess. I've got more audio I'm going to play on this. I'm running a little short on time for right now. I'll do Tony Kornheiser, his follow-up to that, and something really interesting from David Green a little bit later on, because there's a lot to consider about the scheduling ramifications of all this. I want to make sure I have full time to do that. So we'll do that a little bit later in the show. Let me just kind of sum all this up for now. I love this. I couldn't love it more. I think Clemson's a regional rival worth playing. I think tough scheduling is the direction the entire sport needs to move. I'm really proud of the fact that Georgia's leading the way there in that regard. This is a really fun time to be a Georgia fan, to have news alerts pop up like this on a Tuesday the way that it did yesterday, to start thinking about making those travel plans for Charlotte and everything else. These are just good times to be a dog fan, and I hope each and every one of you are enjoying it as much as you should. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort. It's great to have you with us, no matter how you get to us today. Live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, and we're available as a podcast in the Apple Player, the Google Player, the world-famous DogNation.com. However you get to us, we're glad you're here. And as I said before, we appreciate Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort for making it all possible. You know, there are two great locations. They're both less than a three-hour drive from Atlanta. I hope you'll check them out, whether it's the original location, Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort, or the Harrah's Cherokee Valley River. They both have incredible gaming areas, the craps, the roulette, the slot machine, the blackjack, whatever else. Also, incredible accommodations. You know, Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort's got more than 1,100 rooms, 10 dining options, spa, poker room. This is an unbelievable place to get away. And at both of these locations, you've got sports betting on the way soon. The book, sports gaming coming to Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort properties. If you go to if you're watching a video, the website you see on your screen, you can learn more about that. Or if you're listening radio podcast, or if you're just not looking at the screen right now, simply search this on Twitter, Harrah's, or I should say on Google, Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort. Search that, and then the book, sports book, that'll get you all the information you need to know. We appreciate Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort making Dog Nation Daily possible here today. We're going to get Mike Griffith here coming up in just a moment as a way of kind of setting up that conversation. And as I said before, I'm going to have more on the Georgia Clemson stuff before we're done on today's show, too. I just kind of want to make sure we sort of stay on schedule here just a bit. But as a way of setting up the conversation with Mike Griffith, let me go around the doghouse. And I've always been really clear about something. I think it's important in life to stay in your lane, kind of know what your area is, maybe your area of expertise, and kind of make sure you stay there. For instance, you know, I talk to a lot of reporters on a pretty much daily basis. We bring a lot of our guys here onto Dog Nation Daily and other reporters from around the world of college football. I don't really consider myself a reporter. I'm more a guy that talks about the news than I am someone who breaks the news. I don't want to do that. I want to do what I do. That's what I feel like I do well, and it's important to stay in your lane. With that said, you know, we obviously talk about the news here on this program. There's been a lot of chatter as of late about Dwan Mathis, the Georgia quarterback, and his status, and some of it's kind of confusing. I want to get Mike to help us clarify some of this a little bit. Mike put a blurb yesterday in the Dog Nation forum. Of course, you can always read the Dog Nation forum for free at forum.dognation.com. Let me show you what was from Mike there on that. He hopped in there to offer an update on Dwan Mathis. He says, Dwan's having a great offseason and looking forward to practicing this spring, just as he ran the scout team in the bowl practice. And I was able to confirm that with some sources of my own. This is one example, I guess, when I did have some sources. That's indeed what he was doing. He says, it's been a great comeback from brain surgery last May. Georgia's medical staff is still taking great care and monitoring closely. Mike Griffith at the Dog Nation Forum goes on to say, but the timeline has remained unchanged since the most recent report. There's a key MRI in May. Now, what does any of this mean? I don't quite know. As Mike says there in the Dog Nation Forum, Mathis was practicing at the end of last season. Practice, obviously, not quite the same thing as a game. the people that I've kind of talked to about this have kind of struck an optimistic tone about Mathis being a football player in kind of, you know, good health standing on this team for 2020. But how official is that now? What exactly is going on with all of this? That's one of the things we're going to talk to about, talk to Mike Griffith about on our program here today. So we'll do that. We'll have more on Georgia Clemson coming up a little bit later on. In fact, let's bring on Mike right now. It's great to have you with us as a part of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And we bring on Mike Griffith here. And Mike, to clarify, we just read a couple of the sentences that you wrote at the forum yesterday, forum.dognation.com, on the Dwan Mathis situation. I'll be very frank with you. I don't quite understand what any of this means. What is the current health status as you understand it, based on your sourcing and reporting? What is the current status on Mathis right now?
Yeah, it's good. It's the same as it's been since we talked to him after the, I think we talked to him after the SEC championship game, maybe after the bowl game. But it's status quo. You know, Dwan's doing well. He's still recovering. You know, he has an MRI in May. That's when he'll be fully cleared. But he's been practicing with the team since November and ran scout team at the bowl game and, you know, just kind of reading different things. I think maybe some people misconstrued when Kirby said he's cleared to practice. Well, he's been cleared to practice, and he's been practicing. So that's the good news, is that there's no setbacks. He's doing well, but the timeline's not changed. He has to wait until the MRI in May before he can be cleared to play in games and actually get hit in the helmet and go to the ground. They don't do that in Georgia practices. They don't hit the quarterbacks in the helmet or tackle them to the ground.
So let me ask you a couple of very, very simple, like, elementary questions. I'm not a super smart guy, so this is the kind of questions I would ask. Is Mathis a player at practice now like any other? In other words, if Georgia had a spring practice today, would Mathis be practicing the same as any other player, or let's maybe even make it more specific, any other quarterback? Do we know that yet?
That's the way to put it, B.A., like any other quarterback, because, again, they don't tackle and strike these guys in the helmet. You know, Georgia and Kirby are very smart about taking care of their athletes. And Kirby's talked about how, you know, they've learned that you can do the bump. You know, you can run through things at full speed, but instead of taking somebody to the ground like you would in a game, you just kind of do the bump thing. And there's no real helmet to helmet. There's no, you don't want to endanger your players unnecessarily, especially right now. They're just in the conditioning stage. But in scout team, yeah, he was practicing in November and December. So it's the same as it was then. He's been cleared to practice since November. So that was really the last landmark news, was when Dwan started practicing in November with the team. And really, nothing's changed except he's gotten bigger, stronger, faster, and, you know, gotten to work with Jamie Newman and Carson Beck and Stetson Bennett. So it's, I guess, you know, I'll just put it bluntly, there's no real news with Dwan Mathis. You know, and I'm pretty well sourced on this, that nothing is really going to change until he has the MRI in May. That's really the next landmark date for Dwan in his recovery, when he has an MRI. And of course, you can't do those every month, just like you can't get x-rays at the dentist every month. So we're waiting on May to see if Dwan can get cleared for that helmet-to-helmet game clearance. But so that's not there yet.
With that in mind, let me ask an even dumber question. I think I know the answer to this now. So let's say that Dabo Swinney got on Twitter today and said, I don't want to wait until September of 2021. I want to play Georgia right now. And they met at Clark Central High School to do that this afternoon. If that were to happen, then Dwan Mathis, as of now, would probably not be cleared to play in that game if it happened this afternoon.
He absolutely would not be cleared to play in that game.
Okay, so but by May, we may get an additional update on that, which I guess is worth pointing out, is sort of after spring practice. So according to your reporting on this, we're going to finish spring practice with Mathis pretty much in the same health pattern that he's been in. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, because, you know, you're not going to have that MRI until May. That's the annual MRI. You know, this event occurred May 23rd when Georgia rushed him in for the emergency surgery, and, you know, the skull has to heal. You know, this guy had his skull cut open. This was not arthroscopic brain surgery. You know, the guy's skull was cut open, and he could not walk, you know, for a while. And he had to go through some very intense rehab. This is a very delicate surgical procedure. This is a very important healing process. Georgia has taken all measures of caution, gotten him the best care literally in the world. And, you know, it's been a great recovery. And, you know, he has recovered to the point where he can go through practice, and he has gone through practices in November and December, and, you know, do what quarterbacks do. They don't sack their quarterbacks in practice. Again, and they really don't take anybody down to the ground. Now, in spring, there will be some scrimmages, but those quarterbacks will be protected for the people that don't see the practice photos or maybe aren't really aware. They put the quarterbacks in non-contact jerseys. They also put injured players in those, but the quarterbacks wear a different colored jersey, typically black jerseys, and that's an indication to teammates that they're not to be hit. You know, like others. And in scrimmages, they certainly aren't hit.
Let me do one more thing on Dwyane Mathis, and then I want to talk about some other topics here for a moment, including the Georgia-Clemson game that got announced yesterday. When you interviewed Mathis right after he signed with Georgia, this is going back obviously a good while ago now, one of the things I thought was really interesting about him was he said something in that interview that was a little bit different than you typically hear from incoming freshman quarterbacks, especially ones that are good enough to play at a place like Ohio State, which he was, or a place like Georgia, which he's obviously at now. He really made a strong case for wanting to learn from Jake Fromm. He said he wasn't coming to unseat Fromm, he was coming to learn from Fromm. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the general gist of what he said. Well, now it's not Fromm anymore, it's Jamie Newman. Now, I've said before, I believe that Newman's going to be the starting quarterback on this team. I think there's good reason to believe that. But my question for you is, do you get a sense, and maybe there's no way to know this, that Mathis is just as interested in learning from Newman, a guy that has some experience, a guy that will be, I think, an NFL prospect at some point in time? Do you get the sense that Mathis may be just as interested in learning from Newman as he once professed being interested in learning from Fromm?
Well, they're learning together. You know, it's a new offense, and yeah, I mean, the situation is similar. You know, when you have good chemistry and a team-first mentality, like Dwan does, I mean, he's only a redshirt freshman, right? And he understands that. A lot of this has to do with how Jamie Newman handles his role, you know, and how is Jamie Newman coming in? And all indications are that Jamie's really winning the locker room. You know, the guys really like him. I mean, he's a guy that's coming in from Wake Forest with 1 year. He's a grown man. He's 6'4", 230, right? He could have played in the Senior Bowl this year if he wanted and gotten drafted into the NFL. I think it was wise for him to come to an offense that will be more pro style, where maybe he can showcase his abilities. But to answer your question, you know, Dwan is very much on board with the competition and Jamie Newman. And, you know, with a new offense, if it's Jamie Newman that wins it, which I think we all think the odds are, certainly the Heisman, you know, the people in Las Vegas that have made Jamie number five in Heisman odds, they all believe that he will, as do a lot of the NFL scouts. If it is Jamie, you know, I think the Mathis family looks at it that Dwan possesses a lot of the same characteristics in terms of his size and his arm strength and certainly his mobility. You know, Dwan can really run. I think Carson Beck possesses good mobility and good arm strength. So if Jamie Newman wins the job, you know, I think the other quarterbacks feel pretty comfortable that they can also run the offense. And they're all pretty young. Stetson Bennett's the only one that's a junior, but Carson and Dwan are both still freshmen eligibility-wise. So I think they feel comfortable that even if they don't win the job, they could be the next man up. And to me, the real competition is probably for that number two spot.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. I want to talk to you about the Georgia-Clemson series just got announced. Before that, let me remind you about Dog Nation Daily. Being on the road here coming up pretty soon, we're going to be at the Atlanta International Auto Show. Now, the 38th annual Atlanta International Auto Show does come up at the Georgia World Congress Center, Building C, from February 26th through March 1st. We're going to be on hand Friday, February 28th. We'll be there when the doors open at noon, so please come on by and see us, and make sure you check out the auto show, because it's got all kinds of new cars, SUVs, these trucks. More than two dozen manufacturers are represented. You've also got great special attractions. Cousin Eddie's RV from Christmas Vacation is going to be there. I actually saw this on TV the other day. It looks just like, I mean, it is the RV from Christmas Vacation, so you can check that out. Exotic cars from Caffeine and Octane. A whole lot more as well. Adult tickets just $12. Kids 6 through 12 are just $6, and kids 5 and under are free. Also, discounts available for heroes and seniors. The website is GoAutoShow.com. Visit GoAutoShow.com, and you can find out more information about that. Mike, Georgia Clemson for 2021 is official. I think this is a ton of fun. A couple of things I said before you joined us. You know, I believe in regional rivalries. The fact that Georgia and Clemson are going to play about six times here, at least scheduled in the regular season and the years ahead, I think that's a good thing. I think tough scheduling in general, Georgia leading the way for that for college football, is a step forward for the sport. I think it's more entertaining for the average fan, be you a UGA fan or not. I think there's a lot to celebrate about Georgia Clemson. What did you think about the schedule addition for the Dogs yesterday?
Yeah, it's exciting. It certainly beats a game against San Jose State. The only thing that, you know, the only thing I've seen on Twitter, you know, some people saying, boy, it sure would be great if this was a home instead of Charlotte and Atlanta. Obviously, there's some advantages to playing at a neutral site. You know, I think it's a fun weekend for Georgia fans. It's a new venue. I know Tennessee played there last year, what, against West Virginia? Was that the year before? I can't recall. But yes, it's a neutral site venue. It's another NFL stadium. It's an area that, you know, Kirby does recruit in North Carolina. I mean, Jordan Davis is a guy right from Charlotte, North Carolina. So it's a unique kickoff classic. You know, the only thing I would say is it comes at the expense of what I think is one of the greatest stadiums in the country. I think Sanford Stadium is an absolutely beautiful game day environment. But realistically, I think most Georgia fans are probably fine with that. Most people are going to consume the game on television, you know, for being honest. And there'll be, you know, I'm sure there'll be 70,000 there, but there'll probably be hundreds of thousands, if not millions. Right. Well, actually, there probably will definitely be millions, right, maybe tens of millions watching that game television's ratings-wise. So I think it's a great addition. It gets everybody talking about the season before it gets here. I mean, heck, we're talking about it now, and you know they got to play Virginia first this year, right?
Right. And I agree with you from the standpoint of, if you're giving me a trade between one or the other, when it comes to something like this, I'll take the home and home more so than the neutral site venue, typically speaking. Like going to Charlotte, it's not necessarily a destination city for me. But the reason why I'm okay with the neutral site for this game is because if you're trying to schedule a home and home like this with Clemson, you got to find 2 years that work for both schools, which is going to force you to sort of schedule it out into the future. We've seen that with some of the homes and home that Georgia has added here recently. But Georgia kind of needing that marquee game for 2021, if the only way to get it is played in a neutral site venue, as you said before, Charlotte's, you know, pretty fertile soil for Georgia when it comes to recruiting as it is. If the way to get the game is to play it in a neutral site like this, I'll take it just to get it on the calendar for that year, because otherwise I had kind of a hole in the schedule in terms of that kind of marquee game that everybody rallies around, the way that maybe Alabama stands to be in 2020, Notre Dame was in 2019, and, you know, other examples have been in the past. It's kind of nice to be able to, you know, sort of circle that date and say, hey, here's something to really look forward to the season after next, which will be here before you know it.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, if you're going to give up a home game, the time to do it is early September in terms of the recruiting calendar. You know, again, this is a whole other show, but giving up that Florida game at that time of year every year is much more costly to recruiting than playing a neutral site game earlier in the year where you're not so close to that early signing date. So I think if you're going to have a neutral site game, this is the time to do it. I do think that there's a huge value to playing Clemson, and it's just fun. And what's cool about this is, you know, with all due respect to the athletic directors for both of these schools, this is Kirby and Dabo playing ball in the backyard.
Sure.
Okay, I went to that Clemson spring game last year to write about Trevor Lawrence, and Dabo Sweeney said, and you may remember the article, he said, "I wish we could play Georgia every year." He kind of threw down the gauntlet a little bit. He said, "We'll play them. We'd much rather play them than A&M. They're that close. We ought to be playing them. I'd play them every year if I could." And everybody said, "Yeah, that's real convenient to say, Dabo, because you don't have any games on your schedule." And then Kirby said last spring, last summer, "I want us on a national stage." And then they went out and scheduled FSU in a home and home, and Ohio State in a home and home. And here's Kirby going, "All right, let's do this, Sweeney. You want to do it? Let's do it. We got a way. Let's do it. We'll buy out San Jose State." So to me, the fun of this is that Dabo wants a piece of Georgia, And Kirby said, hell yeah, let's get it on. And the fan bases are going to be going at each other the whole time leading up to this game. So it's very exciting for me as a beat guy. I think it's exciting for Georgia fans. But what's really cool about it is that it's Dabo Swinney and Kirby Smart looking to kick each other's you-know-what.
Yeah, I think that's actually really well said, Mike. Let me finish up with this on that same topic. Just to kind of play devil's advocate on the other side of the issue for a moment, you know, it's sort of generally believed that by scheduling tougher, you make the chances of making the playoffs easier. However, honesty compels me to admit you're hard-pressed to find many examples where a team scheduled its way into the playoff. In fact, there may be counterexamples to that. Oregon, if it doesn't play Auburn in week one a year ago, may have made the playoff as a 12-1 team as opposed to playing in the Rose Bowl as an 11-2 team in the Pac-12 champion. I don't necessarily think Oregon was one of the four best teams last year, but there is a argument made that maybe they regret that non-conference game they played against Auburn. Are we sure that tougher scheduling is going to be the pathway to the college football playoff in the future? Because that hasn't necessarily been the case for the last few years.
Yeah, well, I mean, Kirby Smart, sure. You know, and he's the guy making the decision. You know, it's kind of like I look out my airplane window when there's bumps and I say, man, I really wish this pilot would change altitude. But then I remind myself that he probably has a much better vision of what he wants to do with that jet. And I chose to get on that jet. And Georgia fans chose to follow Kirby Smart and trust his decisions. And he's got the vision. He's in the cockpit. He's flying this plane. He knows what's best for his program. He knows what he's got coming back. We're all going to sit and wonder, wow, it'll be Clemson without Trevor Lawrence. And, man, Georgia's probably going to lose their quarterback and a lot of guys on defense. I mean, is this a good game and will it hurt them? Look, the truth of the matter is, if you win the SEC championship game, and you're going to be in pretty good shape. But to your point, what if you win it with two losses, right? Then what happens? Let's say you play this game and you lose to Clemson, but you win the SEC, but maybe you lose to Auburn that season, and you're sitting there at what, 11-2, and there's that Oklahoma team that's gotten in every year and gotten their butts, you know, wiped out by everybody, but they got the guy on the committee, right? So they've been getting in the last 2 years, even though they haven't been, you know, they weren't competitive last year or the year before against Alabama. So that's the question. I guess the thing we've got to say is you got to trust the committee and you got to trust the process. But more than anything, you got to trust Kirby Smart because he's the guy pulling the trigger on this deal.
All right, Mike, good stuff. Thanks for being a part of our program. We will look forward to getting a chance to speak to you soon.
I appreciate it, BA. Have a good one, man.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, good stuff there from Mike Griffith. Let's get ready to go cruise around the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. We can bring that music down just a little bit there. We're going to go cruise around the SEC here, brought to you by Royal Caribbean. By the way, don't forget to make sure you check out Royal Caribbean Cruises, including the unbelievable Oasis of the Seas, a just beautiful, beautiful ship, most awarded ship at sea, and has recently undergone the biggest amplification and reimagining ever. I'm talking about new additions like the Ultimate Abyss, which is the tallest slide at sea, a dry slide that plunges down 10 decks. That's really pretty amazing. Playmaker Sports Bar and Arcade, which is like a sports bar like at sea, which is just a great way to kind of watch the big game, whatever it might be, and enjoy some of that great food that kind of goes along with that. You've got all kinds of like nightclub and sort of night spot type things, music hall, which has a lot of cover bands, and it's just kind of a rock club type thing. Lime and Coconut, three stories tall, island vibes all the way around. Bionic Bar, you get the robotic arms who serve the drinks to you and make the drinks. It's just a really fun thing. Oasis of the Seas is a ship worth checking out. So contact your travel advisor. Tell them you want to know more about Oasis of the Seas, or contact my friends at the Cruise and Vacation Authority. You can call them at 800-326-4971. That's 800-326-4971. But make sure you tell them you heard about them on Dog Nation Daily. Something else that you can hear right here on Dog Nation Daily is we're cruising around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean. Very interesting situation in Alabama. And we kind of alluded to this near the end of our show the other day. The situation with Charlie Strong, former Texas head coach, a guy that's got some gravitas around college football. And what ends up happening is he obviously kind of looking for one of those analyst jobs, and there was some thought he might go back to Florida, a school that he knows pretty well. and then he's kind of involved in Alabama, and ultimately he, you know, it's been reported that he is taking the job as an analyst, a defensive analyst for Alabama. Now, what's very compelling about this is if you go on an Alabama message board, if you look at Alabama fans on Twitter, one of the things that you see over and over again is there is not great satisfaction with Pete Golding, the job that he's doing as Alabama defensive coordinator. This is Nick Saban, who has had a lot of coaching unrest over the last couple of years. And most of this is of his own doing. I know that there's this storyline out there of, well, when you're a program like Alabama and you've got such great assistants, you know, you're going to have your assistants poached year after year after year. But in some cases, I think Nick Saban has made some panic moves here. He panicked and kind of made Tosh Lapoy the scapegoat after Alabama lost the national championship game to Clemson two seasons ago. You bring in Pete Golding. He's supposed to be an upgrade. But talk to the Crimson Tide fan in your life. Ask him what he thinks about the job that Pete Golding has done as Bama defensive coordinator thus far. And so to kind of add to the drama, and that's one of the things we love about the SEC, there's always some drama. There's always a little bit of spice. But to add to that, you've got this very competent defensive coordinator, a guy who's got great respect in college football, Charlie Strong, kind of waiting in the wings, almost like the second string position, to sort of step in again as Bama DC if something goes wrong with Pete Golding. Now, also, you see these Alabama analyst spots be kind of a springboard to becoming head coaches and better jobs. And to Saban's credit, he has been quite the rehabilitation program for coaches who need a little bit of a reputation upgrade. He's done that for a bunch. He may be doing that for Strong here, too. But in terms of an Alabama program that, since Kirby Smart has left, has had a good bit of unrest with its defensive coordinator position. It was Jeremy Pruitt, then he bolted. It was Tosh Lapoy, and they seemingly pushed him out the door. It's Pete Golding, and the results so far have been a bit lacking. That revolving door might not quite be done as of yet. By the way, ESPN has put out a brand new, way too early top 25. In honor of the end of National Signing Day, you got a little bit of a change here. Georgia's actually one of the big movers. Georgia now up to fourth in the ESPN Way Too Early Top 25 on the basis of what it did in recruiting. Still behind Alabama, though. So if you're starting to think about that September matchup between these two teams, for now you can pretty much expect Alabama to be your point spread favorite. However, this is also kind of interesting to see the human element here. This is written by guys like Mark Schlabaugh and others, ESPN.com. The human element here, sort of honoring Georgia in a way like some of the analytics stuff did not. The SP Plus from Bill Connelly the other day wasn't all that kind to Georgia in terms of its offense. The FPI that came out, I think, was, what, 2 days ago, yesterday, whenever. They had Georgia 10th, but the actual human beings at ESPN, a lot more favorable. They've got Georgia 4th right now. Florida comes in at 7. LSU comes in at 8 on this in the top 10 for the way too early top 25. You got Texas A&M hovering at 11. That's a team that I think could be very interesting to watch this year. My surprise SEC team right now is Texas A&M is my surprise team from the SEC here this upcoming season. One more thing as a part of all of this. You know, I do think with all the kind of like manufactured hype that exists with Florida, you have a hard time finding people who really want to put their money where their mouth is to kind of follow through on that. Some rando on Twitter tweeting they may win the SEC East compared to a little bit more respectable body like ESPN. I think you see Florida a little bit more where they should be, which is squarely behind UGA in the preseason projections. We'll make that cruise around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort, let me get back to the topic we were on to start the program. And I kind of addressed this with Mike Griffith a little bit a moment ago when he was with us. You know, I feel like sometimes, you know, we're sports talk, we got to find controversy somewhere. I am over the moon excited about the Georgia-Clemson series, but it is probably fair to at least address the other side of this for a moment of, well, is stronger scheduling, is really aggressive scheduling really going to help you punch a ticket to the playoff as much as you might think it should? Let me give you an example of this. I played the Michael Wilbon audio from last year a moment ago. His partner on TV is Tony Kornheiser. Listen to Kornheiser's response to all this in terms of what Georgia's doing, adding all the games that it's adding, and listen to the almost rhetorical question that Kornheiser kind of slips in on this. Let me let you hear it.
I don't know if it's wise. I think it's a very, very good move. They want three powerful non-conference opponents. In 2015, before Smart got there, they had Louisiana, Monroe, Southern, and Georgia Southern. So they had the Southerns completely covered. Here's, I think, the long-range thinking. I think that the college playoff will eventually go to 8, and then you're going to have to include some non-conference winners, right? And so you look at how do you choose them, and maybe you look at how basketball chooses them, that they look at strength of schedule. And so Kirby Smart would be positioning a really great program like Georgia into a two-loss and in situation, right? That's got to be his thinking.
Once again, that's Sony Kornheiser, ESPN, and the way he kind of says that, I know it's good. We'll find out if it's wise. I think that's probably pretty accurate. I mean, I think one way or another, as I said before, the thing that matters here more than anything else is the entertainment value we're going to get to see and get to enjoy because Georgia's playing these kind of games. But in terms of making it easier to win the national championship, you know, I don't know that I trust the selection committee on that enough to say they'll do the right thing and reward the teams that have played the toughest schedules. We've seen Georgia kind of penalized for that before. I thought former Georgia quarterback David Green, when he made an appearance sometime last year on here on Dog Nation Daily, I thought he made a similar point. And even though Green's just like me, really, really thrilled to see Georgia playing games like this, I guess there is still a fair question about all of this that does need to be asked. And David Green did a good job of asking it.
Well, I'll say this. I kind of got mixed emotions. My first instinct is, of course, I love it because I want to see good football games being played. You know, anytime you can go and play, you know, the Texas and the Clemsons and the Notre Dames, I mean, those are the games that you want to see. Now, the only reason I say there's mixed emotions is you take last year's situation at the SEC Championship. We lose to Alabama, arguably the best team in the country at the time, get two losses, having lost to LSU, and they say strength of schedule matters. But look, let's face it, when it comes down to a two-loss team and a one-loss team, who gets kicked out? Well, we saw it happen last year. So as a fan, I love it. I love to see our teams on the big stage. And look, as long as you win, it's great. But if you slip up and get beat, people are always going to use that argument against you from keeping you in the playoffs at the end of the day.
I love what David Green says there when he says of the selection committee, they say strength of schedule matters. And the point that I'm trying to make with all of this is they have said that in the past, and now in future years, 2021 and all these years in the future when Georgia's playing all these big non-conference games, I think Georgia's going to have responsibility. Georgia fans are going to have a responsibility to force the committee to actually follow through and do what it has said it wants to do, which is value teams who play the toughest schedule. I think that the way that Georgia's being aggressive about scheduling the future, I think the committee's going to have a job now of actually following through and valuing that, you know, putting in the extra SEC team maybe in the playoff because of just how tough the schedule actually has been, pairing the difficult league schedule with what's going on, you know, kind of beyond with that. I think it's going to be important to hold the committee's feet to the fire and make sure they follow through and actually do what's best for the sport and reward the teams who are playing the toughest schedule. Let me kind of now shift gears onto something completely different in the closing moments that we have here on our show. The NCAA is now considering a pretty sweeping change to the transfer process that would allow one free transfer to kind of everyone involved. And obviously, a decision like this comes too late for a guy like former Georgia tight end Luke Ford. You'll remember his saga. Ford tweeted out last night. Obviously, he left Georgia because he wanted to go back to his home state of Illinois to be with his ailing grandfather. Ford, unfortunately, tweeting last night that his grandfather just passed away, gone to a better place in heaven, he says. Love you, Papa. I'm sorry you didn't get to see me play in person. My heart is devastated. Rest in paradise. Obviously, we send out thoughts and prayers to a Luke Ford, who was a good guy during his time here at UGA and a guy that Georgia fans have almost universally shown support for as he's kind of moved on with his career. And we're so sad to hear that the grandfather that he'd always shown such care and concern for has passed on, but our prayers are certainly with Luke Ford. The Ford story also kind of coincides with his transfer deal because he's obviously the kind of guy that would have benefited from that kind of free pass of, hey, I went to Georgia, come to find out closer to home is better for me. And I think there's an emotional part of all of us that wants to, like, do right by Ford on something like that. Whatever rule we have to change to make it easy for Luke Ford to be eligible in Illinois, if that's what he wants to do, be close to his family, there's a large pocket of college football fans who want to be able to do that. However, there's also a flip side of this as well. And I thought that Mark Rigg, not speaking about Luke Ford, but speaking about this rule in general, did a pretty good job on Twitter of addressing the other side of this. What Rick put on Twitter about the idea of the free pass transfer rule, and he's saying this in a mocking tone, I know, I have an idea. You recruit and develop players, and when I think they're good enough, I'll poach them from your roster. Welcome to the new normal is going to look like in college football. So two very different sides of a complicated issue. We'll have more time to talk about in our program in the future. For now, Gator Hater Updater, 1,208 days. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort.